Hello, it is January 20th, 2021, start of the new year. I'm your host, Doc J. You guys are listening to Ball for the Filthy Casual. First, I want to say, guys, sorry for the long wait. Life, as you guys know, happens. It's been difficult for me to be able to record, but I'm back now. We're here with episode 6. I'm here with my co-host for today, Young Samson. One of the reasons I invited Samson on the show is because not only does he have a very tight knowledge of basketball, but you're very neutral in your opinions, which makes basketball, talking basketball, very fun with you.
Yeah, glad to be here.
All right, sweet. So today, what we're going to do is Samson and I are going to give you guys our picks for what we call the NBA Mount Rushmore. So there's always going to be a GOAT debate. We all know that. There's always going to be a debate about who's better between LeBron James and Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. And that's all fine. But today, what we're doing, a little special tidbit for you guys, is we're going to give you guys our NBA Mount Rushmore. So as the great Kendrick Perkins likes to say, all these guys are sitting at the same table. So we're going to give you our 4 to 5 greatest players of all time. And we'll just go from there.
Yeah.
You excited?
Yeah, sounds good.
I'm really excited, man. All right. If you don't mind, I'll go first. And then we can just go back and forth. Mm-hmm. All right. Sounds good. So number one on my list probably is not a surprise for anyone. I have Michael Jeffrey Jordan. I don't think you can make an NBA Mount Rushmore without having MJ on there. Definitely one of the most competitive players to ever play the game. His career stats were 30 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. When you look kind of in depth at his career, 14-time All-Star, 10-time scoring champ, 11-time All-NBA, leader in steals for 3 years, 9-time All-Defensive Team, the 84-85 Rookie of the Year, 6-time Finals MVP. And, you know, with that, you have to see that he also has 6 rings. And then a 5-time normal season MVP. I mean, that list alone is just very comprehensive. And I mean, it's a testament to how good Michael Jordan was, not just on the floor from his accolades, but just, I think, the nature of his competitiveness as well.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I have him on my list too.
Yeah.
Of course. Like you say, you have to.
You have to have MJ on there.
What's crazy is the 6 finals MVPs, because you look at the teams that he was on. I mean, Andre Iguodala has a finals MVP over Steph Curry. Yeah. I mean, it's not always the best guy on the court that
it's
wins
true.
That.
It's very true.
But, I mean, it is. It is the best guy in that series. And Michael Jordan was consistently that guy.
Yeah. So. I mean, Michael Jordan, as I said before, just such a competitive player. To be able to go to 6 final appearances and then get 6 rings out of that is completely remarkable. It's amazing. So do you want to go with one of your picks?
Yeah, my next one?
Yeah.
I have LeBron James, of course.
Yes.
He's up there. A lot of people have him at number one. LeBron came into the league at 18 with a lot of hype and has consistently lived up to that hype. And he's still at 36 competing for championships and MVPs. And I honestly think at some point he will be past Michael Jordan in the GOAT debate.
Yeah, I think if he continues playing at the pace he's playing at, and the fact that I think the most impressive accolade of his outside of basketball is the fact that he has been on record saying that he invests $1 million into his body every year through like massage therapy and training and a personal chef. But that to me is a championship mentality. I mean, like, you're already getting 30 plus million. What's $1 million on your body, especially when you're an athlete? You know what I mean? A couple more points about the King, because he's also on my list as well. Like, he's another guy where it's almost impossible to make a Mount Rushmore and not have LeBron James on there. Started when he was 18, like you said. Career average so far, 24 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, very close to a triple-double. Very impressive. 16-time All-Star, 16-time All-NBA, the 03 to 04 Rookie of the Year. 19-20 assist leader. That was a great year for LeBron James. Mm-hmm. I always knew he could pass the ball. That was never in question. But for him to come out last year and perform the way he did at 35 was remarkable.
Right.
So, you know, and out of the 10 finals appearances that he has had, he's won 4 rings out of it and 4 finals MVPs as well. So 6-time all defense. LeBron James, he's like a fine wine, man. He seems to be getting better and better with age. So let's keep this train rolling. So one of the guys I have on here that I think doesn't get enough credit for how good he really was is Bill Russell. I like to award defense on this podcast because defense, if you don't have a good defensive team, you're not going to make it all the way. But Bill Russell is one of the most defensively minded players to ever exist. Career average of 15 points, 23 rebounds. That's amazing. And 4 assists. 12-time All-Star, 11 rings in 13 seasons. That's something that I don't believe will ever be replicated again. Ever. There's no way, man.
Truly, like, incredible.
Yeah.
And the last 2 rings of his were as a player/coach role.
Yeah, so, I mean, just another accolade for why Bill Russell is just, he has to be on the Mount Rushmore.
In a league with Wilt Chamberlain as well.
Yes, that was the next point I was going to make. Not only do you get 11 rings out of 13 seasons, a lot of those rings are coming against Wilt Chamberlain, who is arguably one of the greatest scorers of all time. So, all right, that is my pick for number 3. What do you have on there?
Number 3, I also have Bill.
yes, great minds think alike.
You said it. The dude averaged 15 points per game in his career, 22 rebounds a game.
Yeah.
And as I was kind of doing research preparing for this, I saw, so blocks per game was not recorded at that point.
Interesting.
But people have gone back and estimated that he averaged 10 to 12 blocks per game, which is absurd.
That is absolutely absurd, especially when you think about the bigs in today's game. Mm-hmm. You know, Rudy Gobert is a fantastic player, very defensive, gritty guy. I mean, last night, that block on Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
It's hard to stop what is Williamson, like 6'8", like 280? I mean, he mowed down Derek Favors.
A couple times.
Yeah, he made Derek Favors look like a guard. Mm-hmm. That's a big athletic kid to stop. So I love watching bigs like that. But full circle here, not even Rudy. Is I think Rudy averages 2 or 3 blocks a game, and that's considered great in today's league.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, people will argue, look at the guys that he was playing against, which I agree, he played against a lot smaller, less athletic guys, but one thing you have to take into consideration is guys don't choose what era they play in. And so you credit them for where they are.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And, you know, the game has constantly evolved, as you said as well. I think Bill, though, would be one of the only players where if we you know, we had a time machine and we picked him out of his era, I think was the 50s, made his debut in 1956. So if we were to pick Bill out of that time and place him in today's NBA, I still think he'd be averaging all of those stats and those blocks too.
I've seen, I mean, obviously footage of him. He was just a freak athlete.
Yeah.
Way ahead of his time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he played like a point guard as a center. It's just incredible.
Excellent. Excellent performance and an excellent legacy for Bill. Bill, shout out to you, man. We love you, man. We really do. Who do you have next?
I think mine will be a little different than yours. I put Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Ooh, yes.
I've got him
Tell
there.
Me about Kareem.
All-time leading scorer, 6 rings, 2 finals MVPs, crazy, leads the league history in all-star appearances with 19.
That's amazing.
15 all NBA selections, 11 all defensive teams. The 2 finals MVPs he had were 14 years apart. So that just shows how long his dominance was. And wow. He was the type of guy, obviously, what was he, 7'1"? What
was 7'1"?
Something like that.
He was huge.
And rather than dominating with his size, it was so much skill. This guy hook that nobody could stop it.
No.
And he just knew how to use his body and his skill to just dominate guys.
Yeah, really getting
for
the paint
so long.
And big body guys. Mm-hmm. So the last guy I have on my list, it is a little different. I have Wilt Chamberlain is my fourth guy. Career average, 30 points, 23 rebounds, 4 assists, 11-time rebound leader, 10-time All-NBA, 7-time scoring leader. He was the 59-60 Rookie of the Year, 2-time All-Defense, 2 rings. You know, he'd probably have more if he didn't run into Bill. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. I mean, there was no one really who could stop Bill Russell at that time.
100-point game.
Yeah.
Nobody could stop the dude.
Yeah, and I'm another point about Wilt, too. Is out of the top 20 most scoring games in NBA history, Wilt holds 12 of those spots. Wow. And even with that scoring efficiency, he still couldn't get past Bill Russell. And that's why I think Bill Russell is just so underappreciated for the kind of player he was. Yeah. So I have some shout-outs here just because the list of NBA greats is so extensive, and there are so many players that really impacted the game in a positive way. We're actually talking about one of your favorites of all time not too long ago before we started, Larry Bird. Mm-hmm. You want to tell that story? Tell our fans about the story about the driveway.
Oh, yeah. So Larry Bird's career was shorter than it should have been. He had back issues. I read his autobiography in high school a couple times, actually. I'm obsessed with the guy. But his back issues, he says they were because his parents, when Larry was in the NBA, his parents needed a new driveway. And rather than paying for someone to do it with his money, he said, no, I'm going to do it. And did it, but jacked up his back. And that was eventually what ended his career, was back issues. So
that kind of work ethic is so rare.
Yeah.
You know, even in today's world, like when you told me that, I was like, that's insane to me. Because people just don't do that anymore.
Especially when you've got money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When you got money, everyone knows that, why would you go train when you can just lay in your satin silk bed? And, you know, that's the American dream. But, I mean, Larry Bird, in my opinion, he's the sickest white man to ever play basketball.
Just confident. Confident guy. He knew his ability, and he was not afraid to show it and to talk about it. And yeah.
Yeah, not at all. And my favorite memory is when I was young and watching it was the first three-point contest or one of them. Like we were just talking about, man didn't even take his jacket off.
And he showed up to that and said, all right, who's taking second? Who's taking second place?
That was swagger before swagger
and
was a thing.
Put the last shot up and put his finger up.
Yep, and walked
number
away.
Number one before it even went in.
It was like a look away shot, which, would get you on ESPN nowadays.
Or a technical.
It's true. Referees, they can be very hit or miss. Mm-hmm. I want to give another shout out to the late, great Kobe Bryant. Kobe, you left us too early, man. And it was a travesty when we lost you last year. But he's definitely on the list of shout-outs. I mean, career average, 25 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 18-time All-Star, 12-time All-Defense, 96-97 Rookie of the Year. Got himself 5 rings, 4 MVPs, 15 All-NBAs, 2-time scoring leaders, 2-time final MVP. And above all else, he created the Mamba mentality culture. And that still lives to this day through players like Jason Tatum.
Yeah. Currently wearing a Jason Tatum shirt, actually. Growing up a Celtics fan, I hated Kobe Bryant. Because running into him was terrifying.
Right.
But near the end of his career, when the Lakers were not good,
mm-hmm.
and I was getting older, I appreciated him. I realized what he was and the kind of guy, the kind of person, and the kind of hard worker he was.
Yeah.
And if you haven't read Mamba Mentality, I suggest you do that. He talks a lot about basketball, but it's very applicable to life in general. And it's given me motivation through school and through hard times, anything.
I'm going to have to check that book
out.
It's
incredible. It is.
Yeah. RIP Kobe. We miss you, man.
Also, the four MVPs, you should have had more. That's all I'm
saying. Oh, you're not going to get any arguments here, man. None here. Something you touched on was I loved his towards the end of his career when he really started to give back to these younger players. Christian Wood, he is a center now / power forward, whatever you want to call it, plays for Houston. Had a very impressive game where he scored above 30 points, got himself above 16 rebounds, and he was being interviewed by the Inside the NBA cast. And he gave a shout out to the Mamba Mentality, and it's this young generation that's coming up. They're the ones who have really benefited from Kobe giving back. Jason Tatum, in my opinion, is going to go down easily as one of the greatest power forwards to ever play. You know, next to Tim Duncan, because that's the kind of player that Jason Tatum is. And I think Christian Wood has a lot of potential for that as well. And I just think that Mamba Mentality resonates a lot with these younger players. And Kobe.
Talking about Christian Wood, I know that Mamba Mentality is there because he went undrafted. That guy went undrafted. His girlfriend broke up with him after he went undrafted.
Next
day or that night or something.
Jeez.
And the dude just worked his tail off.
Mm-hmm.
So he went from, I think he was in the G League at one point, to now arguably the best player on his team. So
That's not even a stretch either, because John Wall, as good as John Wall looks right now,
coming off an injury,
a career threatening injury, he's still not the same John Wall that he used to be. I'm not saying he can't get there, he most likely can, but when you have a kid who can get you 30 points a game and 16 rebounds, those are like Giannis numbers. So, and he
plays a lot like Giannis too.
He does.
I watch him and I think that's Giannis.
Yeah. He reminds me a lot of Giannis and Anthony Davis, only I personally think he's better than Anthony Davis. So, I like Anthony Davis, but AD proved that he needed a real running mate to be able to achieve success. And honestly, if LeBron, heaven forbid, I just want to go out there on a limb and say, I hate it when injuries occur. Absolutely terrible. But LeBron's getting up there in age. If he tears his groin again or something like that, like what happened his first year with the Lakers, the team is done.
Yeah.
That team doesn't, I think, have the depth to continue to compete in the West without LeBron.
Yeah, hopefully he doesn't try to make a driveway.
Yeah. You know? Yes. So true. Another shout out I want to send out is to Magic Johnson. It's hard to talk about the greats without talking about Magic, especially because the guy's had HIV for 30 years, and he's still alive.
Yeah, he's killing it.
So I don't know what kind of Superman genetics he has. I know South Park made a reference about him bathing in money, and that's how he stays alive. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But 12-time All-Star, 2-time steal leader, 10-time All-NBA, we have a 3-time MVP, 4-time assist leader, 5 rings, 79-80, all-rookie team. We know who the rookie of the year that year was.
Mm-hmm.
It's Larry Bird.
Yep.
So, you gotta love Larry Bird. All right, so just some shout-outs. Let's talk about the NBA a little bit.
Yeah.
How's the landscape look to you right now?
You know, it's hard to gauge. So many teams are missing games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Celtics right now are currently number one, but they were out 2 games or whatever. So they haven't played as many games as other teams. So it's hard to gauge. But as far as I can see, it's a lot more evenly matched down the line in both conferences, because I don't know. I feel like there was a lot of movement
in the offseason.
And there are those super teams, Brooklyn and
LA,
obviously. I feel they got better in the offseason.
I do,
but
too.
I feel that a lot of teams around them got better as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the East has been top-heavy for so long, and now you have Harden moving over there. Westbrook, you know, even though he hasn't been as successful as he would like to be, he's still a legitimate player. He's over in Washington. Oh, my gosh, though, the Nets, man.
You know, obviously I said I'm a Celtics fan.
Right.
I feel that when Kyrie comes back, that team may explode.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a bad way.
Okay. Give me your thoughts on that.
Kyrie's the third option on that team.
Yeah.
He can't be that. He can't. I just don't
agree.
Think he can.
I agree. I actually made this point, I think, 2 episodes ago. It's been so long since I recorded. Sorry, everybody, once again. There was a specific game where Kyrie sat out and Kevin Durant played. And I can't speak for Kevin Durant because I'm not Kevin Durant. I can just tell you what I would think. I know Kevin Durant is the kind of guy who is a team-first player. He constantly wants to get better. He's going to play as many games as possible. He even played a back-to-back recently coming off his Achilles injury. Mm-hmm. And Kyrie Irving isn't that kind of player.
Right.
So I made the prediction that I think either Kyrie or KD would move from the Nets. And now that they have Harden, you're right. Kyrie is that third option.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if his ego can take that. Now, look, Kyrie, if you're listening to this, you're probably not, but you should. I'd love to have you on the show sometime, man. Kyrie's a good person. He has some views that I think are very strange. I know he's a flat earther, things like that. He's really into conspiracy theories. But, I mean, he went out and he bought George Floyd's family a house recently. Yeah. He takes his money, and he likes to give back to communities, and I respect that so much. But to get all that money, it's been a career of success for him. And one of the reasons he left Cleveland for Boston is because he didn't want to play next to the King.
Right.
He wanted his own team, and that imploded there. And I mean, he's already he missed like 3 or 4 games with the Nets. He didn't let the coach know.
Mm-hmm.
In no world is that considered professional or okay behavior.
If I don't show up to work,
you're fired.
I'm getting fired.
Yeah, you can't. You can't text your coworkers and say, hey, I'm not coming in today, and not tell the boss.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever Kyrie's going through, I hope he's able to navigate those waters. I'm in total agreement with you when it comes to there being too many Chiefs and not enough Indians on the Nets, though.
They gave up a lot of depth. They gave up 2 very big guys in their rotation.
Yeah. They lost LeVert.
For Harden. I mean, it's James Harden. You have to give up that, but... Mm-hmm. But I just don't know if it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I have a hard time. Man, I don't know. I guess we're going to see. I have a hard time seeing them because I predicted that they were going to be the first team at the beginning of the season in the East just because they have Kevin Durant. And that's Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of the greatest scorers of all time, and he's building an incredible legacy. But everyone has to sit down eventually. No one plays the full 48 minutes.
Right.
So when they're sitting down, what's going to happen with that bench?
Right.
You know, they lost Jared Allen.
Mm-hmm. they've got one center or one real center on that team.
DeAndre Jordan. Yeah.
And they've got,
I don't even know who backs him up.
Jeff Green playing the center on the bench, I think.
Oh, really?
But most of his career, he's been a 3.
Right.
So
the Jazz tried to do that with him, and
It'll be interesting to see what happens, but I mean I'm a fan of chaos, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'm excited for this season.
Yeah.
Let's see. What about for the West? What do you think of the West right now?
Top is the Lakers right now, I believe, 11-4 at the moment. They've also played the easiest schedule in the league.
Yes, they have.
So I'm not sure if I buy into them. Again, I'm a Celtics fan. I'm a Laker hater. But I think watching them last year, they played best with Rondo on the court.
Mm-hmm.
When Rondo was out for a couple games in the bubble, mm-hmm. and I think some of the playoffs too, they did not look like a championship team. And when Rondo came back, the floor was spaced. I mean, there was spacing, and they had movement, and it was fun to watch.
Yes.
And losing Rondo, I think, was big for them because, I mean, obviously they got Schroeder, but he's not a Rondo type player.
No, he's not. He's, you know, and I like Dennis a lot. I think they have a lot of kinks they got to work out, though. Mm-hmm. I think the loss to Golden State was a bigger deal than the Lakers front office and Lakers fans want to make about it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was a big game.
Yeah.
An interesting little tidbit to add to your point, too. The Utah Jazz have the second most difficult start of the schedule, and they're 10-4.
They're second in the West.
Yeah, they're looking really good right now. And my question is, if they can look this good with that difficult of a schedule, what are they going to look like that second half?
Yeah.
You know, we could be seeing a team that's getting 10 to 14 win streaks. I mean, right now, I believe they have the longest win streak in the NBA at 6 wins.
Yeah.
Utah Jazz are looking really good.
Yeah. And again, things can change. The Lakers can turn around. I mean, they're number one in the West. They can – maybe that's not lying. You know, maybe it is.
Yeah.
But things can change for the better, for the worse, for any team.
True.
And very so, true. I mean, time will tell.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this season. Even amidst COVID and this pandemic, the NBA is still trying to continue on as normal. I'm very happy about that. I know there are players out there like George Hill or – we're not happy with the new restrictions that have come out. You know, it's a double-edged sword. I can understand that. At the end of the day, though, you're getting paid a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I do understand, though. I'm a big advocate for mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand. I don't know what the restrictions are necessarily. I don't know what the restrictions are with family and stuff. But
right.
I understand that being with people is a huge part of that, and I understand that they're human beings.
Yeah.
Above entertainment, above whatever, they're human beings. And so I don't know, it's a balancing act. It's hard.
It is. You know, we as people crave social interaction.
Mm-hmm.
It's what makes humans humans, you know.
Yeah.
It's a part of that. So I definitely get that as well. But thanks to I'm just glad the NBA is still running.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what I would do with myself if they weren't. I wouldn't be making this podcast right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for sure. All right, guys, that is episode 6. Thank you so much for listening. Next time, you know, if you guys have any questions, comments, or concerns, if you guys don't agree with us, please feel free to email me at ballforthefilthycasual@gmail.com. If there's a specific topic that you guys want to hear me and Samson discuss, go ahead and email it. Guys, thank you so much. Tune in soon for episode 7, and guys, keep it weird.